Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to today's Bidder Information Webcast. My name is Benjamin Chi. I am with Neo Economic Consulting. Neo is the procurement administrator for today's webcast and the procurement event in which this is associated with. Presenting with me is Mr. Paul Cardona, also with NERA. For today's webcast, we are focused on the BEC RFP, also known as the Block Energy and Capacity RFP. And this is for the procurement of block energy and capacity resources for the IPA's portfolio of two of the Illinois utilities, Ameren Illinois Company and the Commonwealth Edison Company. And we have the logos at the bottom of this intro slide so that you can follow along as we use some of these short names. The IPA for the Illinois Power Agency, AIC for the Ameren Illinois Company, ComEd for the Commonwealth Edison Company, and NERA as the procurement administrator. One housekeeping item before we get started. First, you can ask your questions at any time throughout this webcast. To ask your question, simply locate the Q&A on the right side of your screen. Select all panelists in the Ask box, type in your question, and click Send to submit your questions. If there are questions specific to particular slides, I do ask that you reference those slide numbers as well. The presentation itself, as well as any responses to questions that we received on this webcast, will be posted as FAQs as well as additional materials on the procurement website. The website itself is www.ipa-energyrfp.com. We'll start here with one disclaimer. So this process, the BEC RFP, or the procurement events under the BEC RFP, is pursuant to a process that has been approved by the Illinois Commerce Commission. And the governing documents will include the RFP as well as the contract documents that were posted on the procurement website on June 20th, 2018, and you as the bidders will bear the full responsibility for reviewing and understanding the written documents. Any statements that we make on this call that describes or refers to the RFP or the contract documents, they are all summaries only, and they are qualified in their entirety by a reference to the documents. For today's agenda, we will walk you through an overview of the process as well as the products, and then we will delve a little deeper into the design of the products themselves by describing to you the terms of the supplier contracts, what we are really after. Throughout this presentation, you will learn that there are actually three different procurement events, and there are products that are specific to these events that we will go over in the next two or three slides. Once we have discussed the supplier contracts, we will then switch gears to talk about the practical aspects of your participation in this RFP by describing to you the RFP elements, the requirements, the deadlines, and then we will close off with what we are looking for in terms of the bids, the bid forms, as well as the post-bid process. In terms of the overview, this process started in the fall of last year when the IPA filed its electricity procurement plan with the ICC. The ICC approved the plan late last year with some modifications, and the procurement plan itself includes a series of RFPs to procure various products. And in particular, for purposes of this webcast, the procurement plan itself included a block energy and capacity RFP to be held in this fall, the fall of 2018. I should clarify that the IPA filed two procurement plans last year, one dealing with the electricity resources or energy and capacity resources, and a separate one dealing with renewable resources, also known as the long-term renewable energy resources procurement plan. Those are for intermittent renewable resources. And to be clear, this BEC RFP is strictly for block energy and capacity resources only. This is for firm energy to be scheduled to PJM and to MISO, and it is not intended for renewable resources. The other thing to be clear is that this BEC RFP, it is more specifically not related to the adjustable block program for renewable resources. We have provided a link here at the bottom of this slide if you are a renewable supplier intending to sell your RECs to the IPA or to the utilities through the IPA program. Please refer to this program website that is provided here for the adjustable block program for renewable resources or renewable energy credits. This webcast, it is not intended for these renewable resources. This is for firm energy and capacity resources. So you could drop off at this time if you are intending to participate in and strictly for the renewable procurement or the renewable program. But if you are here for the block energy and capacity products and intending to be a supplier here, do stay on. The entire presentation, again, as well as the MP3, will be posted to the procurement website after this procurement event. We will not be entertaining any questions related to the adjustable block program on this webcast. In terms of the products for this BEC RFP, this RFP will feature block energy and capacity products. And the energy products, we have two procurement events for each of the Illinois utilities. We have one procurement event just for energy resources or block energy for Ameren Illinois Company and a separate procurement event for ComEd. These are specific quantities of on-peak and off-peak energy to be procured for specific monthly periods that run from October 2018 through May 31st, 2021. Some months may not have quantities, and we're not looking for a firm requirement throughout the entire period, but we're just looking for blocks of energy in specific segments, on-peak or off-peak hours, and in particular months, which we will discuss later on. The other thing to note in terms of the energy procurement events is that pursuant to the latest July forecast, we are not procuring any quantities for Mid-American Energy Company in this fall 2018 procurement event. So to be clear, we have posted the final targets earlier today that describes the specific quantities that we are after for the fall 2018 procurement events for energy as well as capacity. For capacity resources, we are only looking to procure for Ameren Illinois Company, and this is for what we call zonal resource credits, or ZRCs, in MISO for the planning year 2019-2020. And if you have ZRCs that are under the definition that comply strictly or consistent with the definition provided by MISO, you can bring them in into the procurement, and the ZRCs can be sourced from any zone, not just AIC's compliance zone, which is zone 4. But just take note, as I will explain throughout this presentation, that the ZRCs, if you source them from outside of zone 4, will be subject to payment adjustments under the contract. In terms of the capacity product, I will now discuss these products more in detail. So in terms of the capacity product for Ameren Illinois, One ZRC, as defined in MISO, will represent 1 megawatt of unforced capacity, and they must be able to satisfy the resource adequacy requirement for the planning year 2019-2020. They will continue as in prior years to include any ZRCs that may be generated from demand response resources or load modifying resources. And also, to be clear, the ZRCs, the credits themselves, must be transferred to Ameren Illinois' account using MISO's Module E capacity tracking tool. And we have a delivery deadline in which you must comply with, and all of this must take place before the MISO PRA for 2019 next year. And we'll get into the details in a little while. And the thing to take note, as I will mention, and I will also flag for you some information that you can get from our website, is the fact that if you source them from the compliance zone, if your ZRCs are from zone 4, then no adjustments will be required. You'll be paid based on what you bid on. But if your ZRCs are sourced from outside of the compliance zone and you win in this RFP, then we will make an adjustment to payments based on the auction clearing price of the source zone relative to zone 4. And this will all be clear once and after the PRA has occurred in MISO in the first quarter of next year. In terms of energy products, we are procuring energy blocks for Ameren Illinois Company, and ComEd. A product itself has three dimensions. One is that it is tied to a company. The load itself, the energy blocks itself that you're supplying must be scheduled to a utility load zone, either AIC or ComEd. It must be for a particular segment, either on-peak energy or off-peak energy. It must be for a given month, between October of 2018 through May 31st of 2021. And we will go through some of these elements again in greater detail. Each block that we are after will be for a block of firm quantity, 25 megawatts to be supplied. And as I have mentioned earlier, the quantities in the RFP documents themselves were provided on a provisional basis, and the final targets were posted earlier today, August 7. You can find them on our website, and those are the targets that we'll be after and that we'll be procuring to these procurement events under the BEC RFP. You may, under the energy procurement events, not only bid for those products that I have mentioned, which will be on a monthly block basis, but also bid on combinations, which are basically packages of products or packages of these monthly blocks. So, for example, if you have blocks related to January of 2019 and February of 2019, you could bid on a combination block that consists of Jan and Feb combined together. So the common blocks we have are listed here, Jan-Feb as one combination, March-April as another combination, July-August as another combination, October, November, December, or what we call quarter four as a combination, and then the out years, June through May, as a separate combination. Again, the number of blocks available in a combination is simply the minimum number of blocks available in the months of that combination, which you can see on this particular slide. So as an illustration to fix ideas, on the top half of this slide, you will find on slide 11 here the three dimensions that I have mentioned. One is that each product will have a dimension known as a company, either AIC or COMET, meaning that the supply has to be supplied to the utility load zone, which I will provide the specific delivery point later on. It has to do with either it is for on-peak hours or off-peak hours, which is what we call a segment, and it has to do with a particular monthly time period, which month we are after. So here are the examples provided on the top half of this slide. On the bottom half of this slide, we deal with what we call combinations that you can bid on as well. You can bid on either products and or combinations. Any of the products are up for bid, any of the combinations you may bid on, or you may choose to bid on only products or only combinations. A combinations, more precisely using this example, you will find are just packages of the products. So as you can see how I have carved out on the in blue boxes on the left, you have products that are for the COMET load zone, for on-peak hours for March and April. We also have a March-April 2019 combination for on-peak hours. And as you can see, the blocks available in the combination reflects the minimum number of blocks available in the months of that combination. So you have a target of 23 blocks for March 2019 and 21 blocks for April 2019. The combinations will reflect only 21 blocks, which is the minimum between March and April products. In terms of the application process, the big thing to note here really is there is going to be a two-part application process and everything is going to be done online. So the first thing to note, even before the part one proposal starts, is that the first step really is for you to get an application account. If you have not done so already, we ask that you log in, or rather you go to the procurement website and request by email to us or by clicking on the web form to request for an application account. It would ask you to identify which RFP that you're interested in, and there will be checkboxes for you to click to indicate that you're interested in this BEC RFP. The Part 1 application is just for you to respond to qualification standards and for you to provide us information so that we have sufficient information to qualify you as a bidder. The Part 1 application has a time window for us to process your information. The window for you to submit your Part 1 proposal is from August 8, tomorrow, all the way through August 16. You have about 8 days to do so. Part 1 proposals must be due to us by noon, Central Time, on August 16. Everything, as I said, is going to be online. You're going to fill in information online using the Part 1 web form. There will be some of these inserts, which are standalone documents that you can download, and then proceed to complete them, print them, sign them, scan them, upload them back to the Part 1 portal. And those inserts, in most cases, will require you to have a signature to be on them. But as I have said earlier, everything is going to be done online. When you upload your signed documents, that is all that we require. In no point throughout this process, we will be requiring hard, wet signatures from you. The online site will also require you to upload certain supporting documents, including financial statements to the extent applicable, and other supporting documents, which we will walk you through in the latter half of this presentation. The only thing that we require you to do outside of this web platform or application website is the submission of your bid participation fee. If you have participated with us earlier this year and you are a returning bidder, there is no requirement for this bid participation fee because you have already paid this fee earlier in this year. If you're a new bidder, please take note that the bid participation fee must be submitted to the IPA directly and not to us. For the Part 2 proposal, this is a process only for qualified bidders that are successful pursuant to a compliant Part 1 proposal submission. The Part 2 proposal window will open August 22nd, and the materials that you must submit on the website must be provided to us no later than noon on the Part 2 date, which is August 29. You will find here that the process is going to be very similar to the Part 1 process. You will have a web form where you have to provide information, you have to complete, and then upload your inserts to us using the application website. And the only thing that is outside of this process is for you to provide your pre-bid letter of credit to each of the companies, Ameren Illinois Company and the Commonwealth Edison Company. These are not due to the procurement administrator or the IPA, but due directly to the companies themselves. The Part 2 date itself is on August 29. Just take note that the pre-bid letter of credit will be due at this time for the capacity products, and you will have additional time through September 5th at noon to submit your letter of credit for the energy products. Just take note that there will be two different bid dates, and that's why the receipt of your pre-bid letter of credit to the companies are due on separate dates. The capacity letter of credit is due by noon on August 29, and the energy letter of credits are due by letters of credits are due by September 5th. In terms of bid submission and evaluation, a couple of things to note here for you. One is that for those of you who qualify, we will submit or provide to you bid forms that are customized for you, and these are going to be Excel spreadsheets that are provided to you with your Part 1 notification. And the second thing to note is that once you submit to or complete your Excel spreadsheets with your bid information, you'll be required to submit them or to upload them to a secure file transfer system. It's a new platform, relatively new, that we introduced this year. We strongly encourage you to participate in a training session that we'll provide information for later on in this webcast. But just take note, if you're returning for the first time this year and you're a returning bidder from prior years, this is a new platform. We introduced it in the spring. We're reusing that in this fall. And you may, similar to prior procurement events, encrypt your bid forms for additional security. But the bid forms themselves must be provided to us using the secure file transfer interface. In terms of bid evaluation, we will be developing a benchmark for each of the products, and the benchmark is a confidential benchmark that will be developed by the procurement administrator in consultation with the staff and the consultant of the Illinois Commerce Commission. And this confidential benchmark will be approved by the Illinois Commerce Commission for use in this procurement event. Evaluation will only consider bids that meet or meet the benchmarks, and will evaluate to identify the least cost package that we can procure. In terms of the fees associated with your participation, as I have mentioned, there are fees associated with covering the cost of the administration of these procurement events. The first fee that is due is what we call the bid participation fee. The requirement is $500 per bidder, and this is due by the Part 1 date, August 16, by noon. This is due to the IPA, and the thing to note here is this is one single fee that is applied to all procurement events. Doesn't need to be the BEC RFP. It could be any other RFPs that you've participated before, but it has to be in an RFP that has occurred this calendar year, 2018. If you have participated in the spring, returning this fall, you have fulfilled the requirements, you can ignore this requirement. The second requirement is for supplier fees. This is not paid by all bidders. This is paid only by winning bidders that have been provided an award due to this BEC RFP. This is due similarly to the IPA, and this is due within 7 business days of the ICC decision approving the bid results. We're providing these estimates as a supplier fee at this time. This will be provided as final to you on the part 2 date. So these are provided on a provisional basis or as estimates only at this time. We will provide the final numbers to you when the part 2 date has come and gone, and we'll provide that as an announcement to all bidders. For the payment of your bid participation fee as well as the supplier fee in due time, I ask that you email us, and the email address is provided here, illinois-rfp@nera.com. We'll talk next in this section on supplier contracts to describe the products in detail. A couple of things to note. First is that for each of the energy products, there will be a separate contract for AIC and a separate contract for ComEd. They are not the same contracts, but the terms are more or less the same. The contracts were posted on June 20th, and you can download them from the procurement website. Each contract was subject to a comment process in the spring, and at this time is considered final. It's a standard contract, and it's no longer negotiable. You have to agree to the terms of the supplier contracts prior to your submission of bids, and once the results have been approved by the ICC, you must execute the applicable supplier contract within 3 business days of the ICC decision. And to be clear, the contracts are identical in terms of substance to those that were used in spring of 2018. There were minor typographical edits that were in the drafts, and you can find some of the red lines on the website as well. In terms of the AIC contract for energy, this is known as the AIC confirmation agreement. This is based on the EEI Master Power Purchase and Sale Agreement. It differs from the ComEd agreement in that this is a long-form agreement in a sense that there is this one long contract with exhibits that are appended to this long-form agreement known as the confirmation agreement. So appended to this confirmation agreement, which has a front portion, are the actual EEI power purchase and sale agreement, the standard agreement itself, appended as Exhibit C. And then we also have the credit instruments that are required under the agreement, the standard form of the guarantee, as well as schedules that provide acceptable modifications are provided in Exhibit A. We have the performance assurance letter of credit as Exhibit B. Exhibit D has the collateral annex. And Exhibit E has the paragraph 10 to the collateral annex. All of the modifications that are made to the standard language of the EEI Master Power Purchase and Sale Agreement are found in the confirmation agreement front portion, sometimes known as the cover sheet, but it's really just the front of the confirmation agreement. And the elections to certain contract terms as well as credit terms are also found in the confirmation agreement itself that may modify some of the standard exhibits that you find here in the structure of this confirmation agreement. In terms of the main features of the AIC confirmation agreement, first of all, as I have mentioned, this is for physical delivery. This is not a financial settlement agreement. This is for physical delivery. This is a delivery that must be scheduled in the MISO day-ahead real-time portal, and this scheduling must occur no later than 10 business day prior to the start of the delivery month. And you as well as AIC will work together to enter these day-ahead real-time and financial scheduling entries in that MISO portal. The delivery point is provided here. The CP node is AMIL.BGS6. This is for physical transaction to day-ahead market. And with that, all of the details of what you have won is going to be provided in the confirmation agreement in Table 1 at the front part of that agreement. It will include the actual average price of the blocks that you have won for the months in which you have won them and the quantity that for which you have won blocks for. So this is only for AIC, this is not for Comet, but all the details that are typically found in a transaction confirm that you can expect are found in Table 1 of the confirmation agreement. And pursuant to provisions in the Illinois Public Utilities Act, we have updated some of the confidentiality provisions in the standard EI Master Power Purchase and Sale Agreement as well to adopt those provisions by reference to the Illinois Power Utilities Act. For purposes of the agreement, the main credit terms you should know are the exposure under the agreement is going to be based on a mark-to-market methodology, and AIC will grant to credit-worthy entities an unsecured credit line, and this is provided in great detail in the contract itself. And this is going to be based on the tangible net worth as well as the credit rating of the credit support entity, either the bidder itself as seller or the bidder's guarantor. If you're relying on a guarantor, a few things to note. The guarantee that is acceptable to AIC must be in place before unsecured credit can be granted. Two, a single guarantee may be applicable to multiple contracts. If you've won awards in prior procurements that are still ongoing, you can use a single guarantee to be applicable to those contracts as well. And Schedule 2 of the guarantee exhibit provides some of those instructions. You can find the standard form of the letter of credit as well as the standard form of the guarantee provided as exhibits to the confirmation agreement. And to be clear, we are not looking at bilateral credit in this contract. The collateral requirements applies only to seller but not to AIC. In terms of the Comet contract, it works fairly similarly. The biggest difference is that the Comet Master Agreement is based more akin to the structure of the EEI Master Power Purchase and Sale Agreement. It's a standalone agreement with a cover sheet at the front that amends some of the language and makes some of the elections of the Master Power Purchase and Sale Agreement. And then we have these other component documents that are working in concert with the EEI Power Purchase and Sale Agreement and the cover sheet, which will include the collateral annex as well as paragraph 10 to the collateral annex with some of the elections made in the cover sheet. And then appended to that are the standard forms of the letters of credit, the guarantee, and a document that lays out the mark-to-market calculation methodology. The confirmation sheet itself that will provide all of the details of your award is going to be a separate document, and we have provided a sample of what the confirmation sheet will look like in the website as well, on the website, together with the rest of the agreements. And importantly, the cover sheet will include all modifications, and as I have mentioned, dealing with the Master Power Purchase and Sale Agreement, and certain elections can be found in the cover sheet as well as paragraph 10 to the collateral annex. For scheduling of this supply, it must be scheduled using the PJM in-schedule platform. And in general, besides the first delivery month of October of 2019, because of how close the bid date is to October of 2019 delivery month, we have specific dates when you should schedule and when Comet must confirm the schedule of your physical delivery. That is all laid out in the sample confirmation that we have provided online. But in general, besides the first month, you must schedule 4 weeks in advance of the delivery month, and buyer, which is Comet, will confirm that schedule 3 weeks in advance of the delivery month. This is for physical delivery to the PJM day-ahead market and to the P-Node ID, which is 116-472-935, the Comet residual aggregate load zone. As I have stated, the confirmation sheet as part of the agreement itself will contain all of the details of your reward, meaning the amount that you have won, for which segment you have won, for which month you have won, and the quantity that you have won, including the price that you will be paid for. So all those things will be encapsulated and detailed in the confirmation sheet. There's going to be one confirmation for all of the products that you have won in this RFP. We have also similarly brought in and adopted some of the provisions by reference to the Illinois Public Utilities Act as applicable, especially those dealing with the confidentiality provisions. In terms of the credit terms, it works similarly, and the terms are quite comparable to what you find in the AIC contract. It is based on a mark-to-market methodology. There will be an unsecured credit line that will be granted for creditworthy entities. There will be a single guarantee that may apply to multiple contracts. The standard form of the LC as well as guarantee are provided as exhibits to the collateral annex, or schedules to the collateral annex, and the collateral requirement applies only to seller but not to buyer, which is Comet. And in terms of the capacity product, this applies only to Ameren Illinois. It's only for the MISO market. Comet is not procuring capacity resources through the IPA procurement events. And here, in terms of the capacity agreement, which is what we will call for purposes of this product, this is the confirmation agreement with attachments that include a description of the performance assurance requirements as well as the standard forms of the credit instruments appended or attached to the confirmation agreement. The big thing here to note for what we are after for capacity resources, we are after zonal resource credits as defined by MISO. If they are eligible in the MISO PRA, they are eligible for use here. And the thing to note is that we're looking for you to transfer the ZRCs that you've been awarded the sale contract to AIC's account using the Module E capacity tracking tool that is provided by MISO. And the deadline to provide that is no later than 5 business days prior to the FRAP submission deadline, or the date when the Module E capacity tracking tool becomes available for you to transfer those credits. The details of the transaction will all be provided or encapsulated in Table A of the confirmation agreement at the top and on the front of the agreement. You'll find this Table A that will indicate for us the quantity of ZRCs, the price of the ZRCs that you have been awarded, as well as the source zone for which you have approved bids. ZRCs may be sourced from any zones in MISO. It does not need to be sourced from the compliance zone, which is zone 4. The contract price will reflect your bids for these ZRCs, And if you're bidding only on ZRC sourced from Zone 4, then you'll be paid based on the bid price. There'll be no adjustments needed or made to those ZRCs from the compliance zone. If you are bidding in ZRCs that are sourced from outside Zone 4, take note that the final payment can only be determined after the MISO PRA, and that will occur sometime in the first quarter of 2019. The payment itself will be adjusted based on the auction clearing prices for the source zones relative to the compliance zone. And, you know, to fix ideas here, the way that this will play out is you will have a bid date for the capacity product in September of this year, 2018, and that's when you will sign the contract, and the contract price will be set based on your winning bid price. The delivery deadline for your ZRCs themselves do not occur till March of next year, when the Module E capacity tracking tool becomes available, or 5 business days before the FRAP submission deadline, which is expected in March of next year. The MISO PRA is expected to occur in April of 2019, and only after the auction has taken place and occurred, then the auction clearing prices for all zones are known, and that is when we will be able to determine the adjustment to the planning year total. This is a defined term in the contract itself. The planning year total is what you are expected to be paid, and there is something known as the adjusted planning year total that will either reduce or add to the payments based on where the auction clearing prices are relative to the compliance zone auction clearing price. And in some cases, it is not just that buyer will pay seller, but seller may, if the relative prices work in a way where there is a big difference between the source zone and the compliance zone to a certain degree, then seller may, on top of transferring credits to buyer, will also be obligated to pay buyer the difference that is captured in this term, the adjusted planning year total. And once the planning year starts on June 1st, 2019, it will run a year through May 31st, 2020, and settlement of the financial payments will occur on a monthly basis, either between from buyer to seller or from seller to buyer, as the case may be. So I've talked a bit about the adjustments to the payment. And so to make things clear on this slide 30, just to state the obvious, the first is that this slide only applies if you are bidding in ZRCs from outside of the compliance zone, Zone 4, in which case, if all of your ZRCs are from this compliance zone, no payment adjustments will be made throughout the contract term. You're going to be paid based on the bid price that you have won the contract on. If you are bidding and you have won an award for ZRCs that are sourced from outside Zone 4, there are a couple of scenarios that you should take note. If the compliance zone auction clearing price from the MISO PRA is less than the source zone auction clearing price, whatever zone it may be, that is not from Zone 4, then the adjustment will always add to the payment, meaning add to your bid price to be paid to you from buyer, from Ameren, Illinois. In scenarios 2 and scenarios 3 on this slide 30, we cover the scenarios where what happens if the compliance zone auction clearing price, the auction clearing price of Zone 4 ZRCs, that is cleared in the MISO PRA happens to be greater than the source zone auction clearing price. And in that case, the adjustment in in this case, will always reduce the payment from Ameren Illinois to you as the seller. But there are two scenarios here because in one case, in the first case, the adjustment may not be that large and it may only serve to reduce the payment relative to what you have bid on. And in the latter case, scenario three, the adjustment could be relatively large and sufficiently large enough for the adjustment to result in payment from seller to buyer. And instead of belaboring some of these points with detailed examples here, we refer you to the procurement website where we have flashed out for you three examples on our website of how the payment adjustments work. We ask that you refer to the procurement website, ipa-energyrfp.com, to refer to these examples. They are found under the BEC RFP section of the FAQ webpage. In terms of the main credit terms of the collateral that is required for the capacity agreement, exposure under the contract at the start of the contract, once the bid day has occurred, once the bids have been approved by the Illinois Commerce Commission, what will be asked of you is 10% of the contract value of the contract itself on the effective date. And after the PRA has occurred, if you have bids or credits that are sourced from outside of Zone 4, if it is determined that you are to pay buyer, then it's no longer just 10% of the contract value we are after. We are looking as collateral 100% of the amount that you owe buyer. And in terms of the collateral requirement, it applies only to seller but not to buyer. You will find the standard form of the letter of credit as well as the standard form of the guarantee as exhibits or rather attachments or schedules to the confirmation agreement or the capacity agreement. So with that, I will turn the time now to Mr. Paul Cardona, who will address the requirements of the RFP and will talk about the practical aspects of your participation in the BEC RFP. Paul?
Thank you, Ben. For those of you who have not heard my voice before, my name is Paul Cardona, and I probably will be the one that you speak to on a day-by-day basis as we move forward through the RFP process. Before I get into the details of the RFP process, I just wanted to go over some key dates for everyone. The calendar that you see here is also available on the RFP website, which is illinois-energyrfp@nera.com. There are three different procurement events for which you can begin to apply for beginning tomorrow when the Part 1 window opens. And the Part 1 date will be August 16th, so you'll have just over a week to complete that. The bid dates are reversed relative to previous procurement events, so bidders who have participated in the capacity, both capacity and energy in the past, you'll notice that the capacity procurement event will take place prior to the energy procurement event. So the capacity bid date will be September 6th, 2018, while the energy bid date will be September 10th, 2018. That has practical purposes as well for the Part 2 application or proposal, specifically the pre-bid letter of credit. That means now that the capacity pre-bid letter of credit will be due on the Part 2 date, and the energy pre-bid letters of credit will be due approximately a week later. Skipped one too many. To apply to participate in the upcoming procurement events, you'll need to register for an account. New bidders will need to register for an account. You do so by going to the procurement website, clicking on the left-hand side link labeled Qualification Forms, click Request Login Credentials, and then fill out the information that's been described earlier. You'll indicate your company name, the name of the contact person, phone number, as well as an alternative phone number, and an email address. You'll also indicate via checkbox which procurement event you would like to apply for. Alternatively, you may send an email to illinois-rfp@nira.com with that information, and we will prepare the qualification login information for you. Previously qualified bidders do not need to register to receive login credentials, as they will receive the login credentials that they've used in previous procurement events. In fact, those login credentials have been sent to bidders at approximately 12 p.m. noon Central Prevailing Time. So if you've registered for an account already, you should have received it today around noon. One thing to note is that you will receive a single set of login credentials for a company. So if you have multiple individuals at your company that are registering to receive account information, only one individual will. So you need to coordinate amongst yourselves on who has received that information and who will be filling out the application form. So as Ben had previously mentioned, the application proceeds in two parts. The first part being the Part 1 proposal, which the Part 1 window opens tomorrow. The Part 1 proposal asks certain basic information from the bidder and asks that they make certifications as well as provide financial information for the entity on whose financial standing the bidder will rely. Specifically, the Part 1 proposal consists of information submitted through the online Part 1 form, supporting documents, including financial statements that are uploaded to the online Part 1 form, inserts, and as Ben described, those are additional forms that are uploaded to the online form that may or may not require a signature from the officer of the bidder or the representative of the bidder. And the last thing that is due with the Part 1 proposal is the bid participation fee, which I'll go into a little bit more in a couple of slides. Previously qualified bidders, meaning those that have successfully completed the Part 1 proposal in 2016, 2017, or spring 2018 under the previously named Standard Products RFP or the Block Energy and Capacity RFP, are eligible to participate in an abbreviated process. And going forward, when I describe the requirements of the Part 1 proposal, you'll see two columns on the right of each slide. The first column will be indicate what new bidders are required to fill out. The second column will indicate whether or not previously qualified bidders are required to update that information, confirm that that information is correct, or provide that information in a new sense. So the first portion of the online Part 1 form will ask for basic information. This includes very simple information about the name and the address of the bidder. A new requirement for the fall 2018 is a requirement that bidders that have not previously been suppliers to either Ameren or ComEd in the past 3 years must show that they're an affiliate member of PJM, a voting member of PJM, or certified market participant in MISO. So current suppliers and winners from 2016 on are exempt from this requirement. This is for new bidders who haven't won in the past 3 years. You'll also be asked to name an officer of the bidder who is empowered to undertake contracts that bind the bidder. This officer will make all of the representations in the Part 1 proposal and the Part 2 proposal. They'll also designate a representative who serves as the main point of contact throughout the RFP process for the bidder team. The representative of the bidder or the officer may name nominees. And nominees are individuals who will receive notification about a bidder's Part 1 proposal or Part 2 proposal from the procurement administrator team. So it's really important to provide the nominee insert listing individuals who will actually be working on the proposal and who will be in contact with us so that we can get in contact with the individuals who are actually working on the ground and working with the proposal itself. As Ben and I stated before, there is a bid participation fee of $500 that's paid by all bidders in order to participate in the fall 2018 BEC RFP. Bidders who have previously paid the bid participation fee in a previous IPA procurement event in calendar year 2018 are exempt from this requirement. There are two methods to pay the bid participation fee by the Part 1 date. Those two methods are via check, made payable and sent directly to the Illinois Power Agency, or through e-pay through the link on this slide. The IPA cannot accept wire transfers, so you would have to use the two approved methods. For a complete set of instructions, you can email us. However, those who have received qualification materials this morning did also receive instructions to pay the bid participation fee. There are five financial requirements that are required in the Part 1 proposal that are required for the entity on whose financial standing the bidder relies. So the first portion of this is that the bidder needs to indicate who that entity is. They can name themselves or they can name a guarantor. And for the entity on whose financial standing the bidder relies, they'll need to provide credit ratings for that entity. They'll also need to provide financial information for the entity, including annual financial statements and quarterly financial statements. A quick note on the financial statement requirement, you must upload those to the online Part 1 form. A link provided to an investor page on the bidder or the guarantor's website is not sufficient to meet that requirement. You must upload documents to the form. There are company-specific requirements for each of the procurement events for energy products as well as the capacity products. So there will be a separate section for both AIC and ComEd. In those sections, you will be asked to provide information to prepare the supplier contracts in the form of a contract insert. We ask that you provide those in Microsoft Word because they will be used by the utilities to prepare the contracts should you have bids that are identified as winning bids to the ICC. You'll also be asked to, for each company, to provide certain certifications made by the officer of the bidder. These must be signed and uploaded to the online Part 1 form in the applicable places. And then finally, for the energy products and actually for the capacity product as well, no comments will be solicited on the letters of credit for the fall 2018 procurement events. However, we will post either this week or next week acceptable modifications to the pre-bid letter of credit that a bidder can elect to use on an optional basis. We will make an announcement to website registrants when those documents are posted and available to bidders. Those will be posted on the final materials page, sort of a sublink under each of the various pre-bid letters of credit. In addition to individual requirements for the energy products, there's also requirements specific to the AIC capacity product. They mirror what we require for the energy products, namely the contract insert that must be submitted in Microsoft Word format, as well as representations from the officer of the bidder. And again, no comments will be solicited on the capacity pre-bid letter credit. There are additional requirements that I won't detail for bidders in special circumstances, mainly bidders with foreign guarantors and bidders under an agency agreement. A little bit more information on the contract inserts. Each utility uses the contract inserts to prepare the applicable supplier contract should you be identified as having winning bids to the ICC. This contract preparation takes place between the evaluation bids on bid day and the ICC decision a few days later. Bidders are asked to provide all necessary information with the Part 1 proposal so that it's there and in the utility's hands as soon as it can possibly be. If a bidder doesn't provide that information with the Part 1 proposal, they'll be required to acknowledge that the information will be required to be provided a day after the bid date. And it's important to note that any delays in contract execution may cause a drawing on the pre-bid letter of credit, so it's important to have this information updated and accurate as early as possible. So once you've completed the information in the online Part 1 proposal, you can hit save, but you also must hit submit in order for us to process this. Hitting save is not sufficient for us to go in and evaluate your proposal. But once you do hit submit, the procurement administrator team will evaluate your Part 1 proposal, and you will be temporarily locked out of the proposal at that point in time. As part of our review, we will write a notification to you indicating any issues in the form of deficiencies that are found with your online part or with your Part 1 proposal, or if your Part 1 proposal is complete. You will receive that notification on the same business day that it's submitted, provided that it's received before noon Central Time, or it will be reviewed and a notification will be sent to you on the next business day otherwise. Notifications are sent by email to the bidder team, so it will be sent to the representative and the nominees. So, again, I'd like to stress how important it is to have the people who are actually filling in the online Part 1 form to be the individuals who are listed to receive that information, those notifications from us. You'll generally have one business day to reply to the deficiency notices to cure and provide additional documents as required. The Part 1, as Ben has previously mentioned, is due by 12 p.m. noon on August 16, 2018. Once your application or once your Part 1 proposal has been deemed complete and compliant with the RFP rules, we will send you a Part 1 notification that I'll detail on the next slide via secure electronic file transfer. That will be sent to you by end of day on August 21st, 2018. So that's a Tuesday. And within that Part 1 notification, we'll provide you with documents that you'll need to help prepare your Part 2 proposal, as well as you'll need to prepare the submission of your bids. Specifically, we will provide you with the bid forms to use on bid date, instruction for filling out those bid forms and uploading them to the secure bid transfer site that was new in spring 2018 that Ben had briefly described. That is the main submission portal for your bids on bidder training and bid date. However, there is a backup procedure that we will go through in bidder training that's available to bidders via email. You'll also receive confidential information that you'll need to submit your bids, including your usernames, passwords, and security codes for bid submission and invitation to training, as well as the amount of the pre-bid letter of credit required to bid on all blocks for each company. I'll provide those numbers, so I have a pin ready at a later slide. The Part 2 proposal is really due at two separate stages. That's the online form itself and the pre-bid letter of credit that's sent directly to the utilities, as well as the bids themselves. That's the second portion of the Part 2 proposal. So the Part 2 proposal is very similar in form to the Part 1 proposal in that bidders provide information and uploads via an online Part 2 form. You're asked to provide updates to any contact information provided with the Part 1 proposal and to make any certifications. The submission of the pre-bid letter of credit is required for this procurement event, even if you participated in a previous procurement event. So if you participated, for instance, in the capacity procurement event in the spring of 2018, you are still required to provide a pre-bid letter of credit for this fall 2018 procurement event. Those pre-bid letters of credit will be sent directly to the utility companies. So if you're participating in the AIC energy procurement event and AIC capacity procurement event, you'll send two pre-bid letters of credit to AIC. And if you're participating in the ComEd letter of credit, ComEd procurement event, you'll be sending a letter of credit directly to ComEd. There's a couple of things to note with respect to the date that the Part 2 date and the dates for the pre-bid letters of credit that are different than previous procurement events. Specifically, as I mentioned before, the capacity pre-bid letter of credit is going to be due on the Part 2 date this time around. It is not due at a later date. So bidders who are participating in the capacity procurement event will need to provide their Part 2 proposal and their capacity pre-bid letter of credit by August 29th, by noon on August 29th. Bidders participating in the energy procurement events have a little more time on the energy pre-bid letter of credit, with that being due on September 5th. There are certain certifications required with the Part 2 proposal, namely that bidders must the officer of the bidder must agree that bids submitted are binding, that if the bidder has winning bids approved by the commission, that the bidder will execute the applicable supplier contract with the company for which they have bids that are identified as winning bids. The bidder must certify that they are taking all necessary steps to uphold confidentiality for itself, and they make additional representations for confidentiality purposes with respect to any advisor that they are retaining. Additionally, bidders must list who that advisor is in the Part 2 proposal. We provide more details in the RFP rules about what constitutes an advisor, specifically Section 5.1.2, but for our purposes today, I'll just read to you what an advisor is defined as in the rules. Essentially, it's an advisor is an entity or an individual that is advising or assisting a bidder with the completion of a proposal, bidding strategy, estimation of the value of the products, or estimation of the risks associated with a supplier. It's important to note that the advisor cannot be listed as one of your nominees or representatives. So the representatives and nominees must be from your company. They cannot be from an advisor. The certification inserts, those numbers are listed below, and those are available for download on the RFP website. The requirements dictate that bidders must submit pre-bid letters of credit, and I briefly went into this, but again, a pre-bid letter of credit is required for each procurement event for which you're participating. So if you're participating in the AIC Energy, the AIC Capacity, and the ComEd procurement events, you are required to have three pre-bid letters of credit submitted with your Part 2 proposal or by the due date of that pre-bid letter of credit. The pre-bid letter of credit must be in the standard form or incorporate only those modifications that are acceptable to the companies and posted to the RFP website. And again, those will be posted sometime this week or early next week, and an announcement will be sent to registered website registrants when a document is live on the website. The pre-bid letters of credit must expire no later than October 2nd for the capacity procurement event and October 4th for the energy procurement event. And if you have special instructions for the pre-bid letter of credit, say it needs to be sent to a certain department within your organization, you are able to specify that in your Part 2 proposal. The pre-bid letter of credits must be in certain amounts, and those requirements are different across the procurement type. So energy has a different requirement than the capacity procurement event. The energy procurement events need to be in $5,000 increments per block of the bidder's indicative quantity, which is the number of blocks that a bidder intends to bid across all segments in all months for an individual company. The letter of credit for energy subject to a $250,000 minimum, and the maximum is the maximum that you could bid and win across all segments and months for a company. For AIC, that max will be $1,225,000 for 245 blocks total. The ComEd maximum is $4,470,000 for 894 blocks total. And again, these values will be provided to bidders in their Part 1 notifications. As I mentioned before, you'll also receive instructions for the submission of bids in your Part 1 notification. This is the last real portion of the Part 2 proposal. So in the bid form, in order to submit your bids, you must use the bid form. It's the exclusive method for submitting bids for the various procurement events. No other form of bid submission will be acceptable. On bid day, you'll submit your bid forms via a secure bid transfer system or via backup procedure, which is by email. There'll be ample time to train for this with the bidder training, as well as you'll have a step-by-step guide that was provided with your Part 1 notification that you can review that has very detailed instructions on the submission of bids. The bids themselves are due on two separate bid dates. And again, I want to stress that the capacity bids are due prior to energy bids this time. They're due on September 6th. There's a single bid window for the AIC capacity product. That's 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. noon Central Prevailing Time on September 6th. Energy products will be due at a later date on Monday, September 10th, 2018, and there are going to be overlapping bid windows that correspond to different delivery years. So both of the bid windows start at 8:30 a.m. Central Prevailing Time, but bids for the 2019 through 2021 delivery years are due at 10 a.m., which is prior to the due time for the 2018-2019 delivery year, which is 11 a.m. So it's important to make that distinction and know that the bid forms will be due at different times for the different delivery years for energy products. Once you submit your bids on bid day, you'll receive an evaluation from us whether or not those bid forms are complete and consistent with the rules of the RFP, and you'll be notified at that point in time whether or not there are changes needed to your bid form, which you can make prior to the closing of the bid window, or whether or not they're complete. And once they're complete, we'll indicate to you that your bid will be evaluated. While no notification is required prior to commission approval under the Public Utilities Act, we will aim to notify you by phone by 6 p.m. on the bid date whether or not your bids are identified as winning bids to the IACC, to the commission. And then what we will do is then send either later that night or the following day, if circumstances warrant, a document detailing which bids were identified as winning bids to the ICC. If not already done so at that point in time, you'll have to provide your contract inserts by 12 p.m. noon on the following date after the bid date. Again, I stress that this is important because there are any delays in executing the contract may result in a drawing on your pre-bid letter of credit. The procurement administrator and the procurement monitor will both provide reports to the ICC detailing the procurement event. That report is due on September 10th for capacity and September 12th for energy products. The ICC will then take 2 days apiece to decide on whether to accept or reject the results of the procurement events for capacity and energy products. The ICC decision is expected on September 12th for capacity products and September 14th for energy products. Once that happens, once the ICC approves the results of the procurement event, we move on to the contract execution process. And this is where the importance of the contract inserts come into play, as each of the utilities will prepare and send electronically to bidders partially executed contract documents for your countersign, at which point you would then countersign and send back electronically electronic documents to utilities. I would like to note that ComEd prepares the guarantee for winning bidders. However, if you are a winning bidder for AIC, you'd have to prepare your own guarantee and submit the executed guarantee for electronic receipt by AIC. The last piece of the post-bid process is the payment of the supplier fee to the IPA, which is due 7 business days after the commission decision. You will receive an invoice directly from the IPA with instructions on how to submit that payment. If you don't pay within the time period allowed, your pre-bid letter of credit may be drawn upon. The last portion of our presentation, and I appreciate everyone's patience because I know this is a little long, is just going over in defining what exactly is a bid in the energy procurement event as well as the capacity procurement event, and then sort of detailing what to expect to see in the bid forms themselves. So a bid in the energy procurement event, so the procurement events for AIC, Energy, and ComEd, is a price in dollars per megawatt hour for a block of a product or a block of a combination has been described on slides 10 and 11. So in this example, you'll see on this slide, the bidder submitted bids for individual monthly products for December 2018 and February 2019. The bidder also submitted bids for January and February 2019, meaning that they've submitted bids and are willing to supply in both months, in both January and February 2019. As been stated, you can bid on any number of products. You may bid on all products. You can bid on any combination as well as all combinations. And you can bid both on a product and a combination that includes this product. So for all intents and purposes, you can actually submit more bids than there are for the target. However, you will not be able to win more than the target for an individual month. The bid forms themselves are separated into two types of tabs. The first type is the general information tab. This is pretty straightforward where it contains general information about the procurement event. So we'll have targets. It will have when the due date for the for that particular bid form is. It'll also have information that we would collect from the bidder itself. Those items will be dictated in green or noted in green. We ask that you provide the contact information for the individual who we would actually contact to provide the evaluation of whether or not the bid form is complete and consistent with the rules of the RFP. So this doesn't have to be someone who is listed as a representative or nominee. It's the person at the company who has the who has submitted the bid form on the bid day, and we will verify them using the security codes and confidential information provided with your Part 1 notification. The second sort of section of the bid forms is where bidders would themselves fill out the actual bids. So there's sort of two sections for this. There are the bid entry portion for the single months, and then bid entry portions for the combination products. The single months are on the left, combinations are on the right. There are two bid forms. So the bid form for the 2018-2019 delivery year will have on-peak and off-peak tabs for each of the utilities that the bidder qualified to place bids on. The second bid form will be 2019 through 2019 delivery years, and again, we'll have the on-peak and off-peak periods for the utilities that the bidder qualified to submit bids for. I previously mentioned that you may submit more bids than you can actually win. You can submit bids, more bids than you're actually willing to supply as well. And that's, and you can specify what's called a maximum willingness to supply that will limit the number of bids that you would in fact win. So the maximum willingness to supply by definition is a number of blocks that you would want to win for a particular segment and month for a given company. And that maximum willingness to supply is assumed at a default value, which is the minimum of the target for that segment and month or the number of blocks bid across all products and combinations that include that segment and month. So as an example, say you were bidding for July and August, and you only wanted to win in each of July and each of August, you'd only want to win four blocks. You could foreseeably bid four individual July blocks, four August blocks, as well as four July-August combination blocks. However, to limit the number of blocks you'd win, you could specify your maximum willingness to supply in both August and in July at four, and you would not win more than four in each of those 2 months. And I'd like to also stress that you're not required to specify a maximum willingness to supply, but it is a tool available for your use. I would encourage each of you to go to the final materials page of the Fall Block Energy and Capacity section of the RFP website, download Appendix 16 and read it. It has a number of examples that detail the maximum willingness to supply and its uses. New in the bid forms this year is an additional information tab that we inserted to provide checks for bidders. And the additional information is separated out by delivery year for each month, segment, and company, and shows the components of the calculation of your maximum willingness to supply, as well as places where you may have overrolled your maximum willingness to supply, and provides warnings in the event that any of the bids that you entered and how you entered them will limit the number of bids that would be evaluated by us. So what will happen is you'll see color coding pop up with next to specific warnings, giving you indicating whether or not for that segment and month for a company, whether or not the bid you entered may have some issue with them that would cause us not to evaluate all of those bids. That's provided for bidder convenience only, and it does not provide recommendations on what you how you should bid or how you should fix your bid, but it does flag for you where there could be possible issues. There are two simple steps to evaluation. As Ben mentioned, there's a confidential benchmark that is used in the first step. So bids that fail to meet that confidential benchmark are eliminated. The second step is those bids that clear the benchmark, the ones that yield the lowest average cost in megawatt hour, cost per megawatt hours are those that are selected as winning bids. And finally, before we wrap up today's presentation, I'll just go into a little bit about what a bid consists of in the AIC capacity procurement event, as well as detail what the AIC capacity bid form looks like. So a bid in the AIC capacity procurement event has three components to it. It has a quantity of ZRCs, it has a price associated with those ZRCs, and it has a source zone for those ZRCs. And as Ben mentioned, the source zone doesn't have to be from local resource zone 4. It can be from any of MISO's local resource zones. So what that looks like is, for instance, this is what a bid would look like. For this individual, they bid $10 per megawatt day for 10 ZRCs from source zone 4. You can indicate any number of ZRCs at a given price, and you can specify up to the ZRC target, so each ZRC can have its own individual price, or you can group them by, in this instance, 10 ZRCs, 100 ZRCs, 5 ZRCs, it's up to you. The bid form is similar in fashion to the energy bid form in that there is going to be a general information tab, and then there's going to be a tab to actually enter your bids. So the general information tab, again, we would ask that you provide the contact name for the individual who is submitting the bid form and who would be the contact person for us to provide our evaluation as to whether or not the bid form is complete and consistent with the rules of the RFP. And then the second tab in the bid form is just very simple bid entry where you put in your bid, your price in dollars per megawatt day, the quantity associated with that specific price, and the source zone for those ZRCs at that price. you will see at the top of the bid form the cumulative CRC's bid. And then finally, once you've submitted your bid and we evaluate the bid forms, it proceeds very similar to the energy evaluation, and that bids that fail to meet the confidential benchmark that Ben alluded to are eliminated. And of those, the lowest price bids of those that clear the benchmark are those that are selected for the least cost package and would be identified as winning bids to the ICC. So at this point in time, that concludes the presentation portion of this fall 2018 Block Energy and Capacity RFP.